Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies, buckle up. It's showtime.
Have you lost your mind? I mean, how is it that you can disrespect a man's ethnicity when you know we've influenced nearly every facet of white America, from our music to our style of dress, not to mention your basic imitation of our sense of cool. Walk, talk, dress, mannerisms. We enrich your very existence, all the while contributing to the gross national product through our achievements in corporate America. It's these conceits that comfort me when I'm faced with the ignorant, cowardly, bitter, and bigoted who have no talent, no guts. People like you who desecrate things they don't understand when the truth is you should say, thank you, man, and go on about your way. But apparently, you're incapable of doing that. So, and don't tell me to be cool. I am cool! Racial epithets. Why does it always come down to that, huh?
Forgive me, folks, I am having some technical issues right now, so I'm running a little slow right now. Now, all of a sudden, you know, my volume isn't working on my new speakers. My volume is not working on my new speakers that I just got for my birthday. That's right, yes, it's Reese's birthday. Reese on the Radio, born today in 1969. That's right, that was the day I was born.
43 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
10-pound head.
All right. Nobody said to do all that. Do you really, really have to do all that?
Come on.
I want everybody to know what size I was. I was huge.
I didn't tell them what size you were. I told them what size your head was.
You said it was a 10-pound head. I wasn't a 10-pound head. My whole body was 10 pounds.
15.
Whatever. I was a large baby. Hence why I'm 6'5".
Thanks. A large-headed baby.
Whatever. Listen, in the future, don't listen to my mother. Okay? Just put it to you like that.
Yeah. I love you.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, my mother's nickname. Anyway, it's Reese on the Radio. It's 2 minutes after the hour on August 14th, 2012. A glorious day, ladies and gentlemen. A glorious day. Because this is the day of my birth. Now, look, I'm not expecting everybody else to think that it's a glorious day as well. That's a business. It's a glorious day to me, and it's about me, so it's a glorious day. And I think it's only right that I say that. By the way, it's also time that I come clean about something.
Oh, God.
Oh, this is relevant. And I want to tell a story, because I know there are going to be some people here who probably won't know what it is that I'm talking about or the context of the story. But let me just say something. So I got a phone call a couple of weeks ago. And I got a phone call from this particular individual who I know is listening or has been listening, has been checking out the show. And just let me give you a little bit of context of what it is that I'm talking about. Because I always tell a new story that people don't know about my court case. And I like to keep you guys updated, but at the same time, I like to keep it compelling because there's always something new that you need to know, that you need to hear about. So anyway, so I get this phone call from an individual a couple of weeks ago, maybe even a couple of months ago. And the individual is claiming in the conversation that they always had my back. Bro, I always had your back. You always cool with me. You know you never did that. Blah, 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 blah. I want that individual to know that obviously you've never, ever heard or seen or followed a court case. And truth be told, because the district attorney's office before trial has to give me all of the documents that they've obtained in regard to my case, who it is that they spoke to, who the email exchanges were with, who they used for evidence, whatever the case may be. All of that is given to the defense. So they know that everyone, they cannot keep those conversations secret. You cannot in any way keep those conversations secret. If there was somebody out there who said, well, I know for a fact that Reese didn't commit the crime and they kept it from me, then that would be prosecutorial misconduct. So it is their job and it is the Constitution that says that I must have each and every one of those documents. It's called Rosario. Look it up. If you're one of those morons who has no idea.
I think that Rosario
is the
Mexican cousin.
Yeah, or the broad that was in 23 Hours, the Spike Lee movie.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is this. I have all of those emails. It's my right to have them. I've read them. And when certain individuals say that they, oh, I always had your back, I always knew. No, that's not true. Because I have the emails and the correspondence and your statements to the district attorney's office in my possession because I'm allowed them by law. So when you're running around and you're talking about certain things, I just want to let you know that I know that you're a phony, a faker, a liar, a bullshit artist. And with that information, you've lost the ultimate respect that you could ever have when it comes to me. Because I always treat people not only with respect, but I boost people up. Hey, man, you got a new gig? Hey, you got something going on? Oh, man, I'm proud of you. Oh, that's great. Oh, you guys just, oh, that's fantastic. I'm always that guy. Always have been. I've always been that guy who's always made people feel like their accomplishments matter, and they matter to me. I'm not jealous. I'm not bitter. I may be angry. But I'm not jealous and I'm not bitter. And I've always told people that you have someone who believes in you and supports you as long as you are a cool individual. As long as you're a cool dude or a cool gal, I've got your back. You'll never ever hear me once say that you can't do that or you shouldn't do that. You've always got my support. This individual still has my kudos. Hey, bravo to you. May you live long and prosper. But I just want to make it clear, because I know they're listening. Don't tell me that you had my back when you sent an email asking for the number of my accuser's mother and daughter. So the mother and the daughter, telling them to contact you if they needed anything. Don't do it. I have the email. Because you were in or joined in an effort to try to smear my name. That you were in an effort to smear my name because in some sort of way I am a threat. I understand that. I don't mean to be. Let me just tell you that. I don't mean to be a threat. But if I am, I welcome it. Now, do me a favor. No phone calls. No emails. None of that trying to straighten it up. I let you go on and on and on in your phone call to me and your conversation with me and try to make this out like, you know, you weren't the bad guy. But I waited a long time to just let it be known that I knew you were lying when you called. I always did. And I sat there and I let you dig yourself into a hole. I let you tell the lie. But I never said a word. I never threw it back in your face.
You have a lot of patience.
Because there's no need for me to throw it back. See, now is the perfect opportunity to do that. Because now, because it's become so evident that I was innocent, because it was so evident that I am a legitimate dude, that I'm a real, real honest kind of guy, that I'm a fair guy, I'm a good guy, I'm a good man, I don't need the kudos from anybody who's been a faker, fronter, a liar, or a bullshit artist. So, I know you'll be listening. I know you'll be checking out the archives, because I know you do. I'm well aware of it. Don't ever tell me anything else. Don't fool anybody else. You can tell everybody else that you want to, you know, about
what a great person you are.
What a great person I am, or, you know, your responsibility when it comes to certain aspects of my life. Yes, don't think I don't know. But keep it moving. Now, again, I've never been a hardcore type of guy. Well, let me rephrase that. I've always been a hardcore type of guy. I am hardcore. Okay? I am hardcore. But I've never been one to go ape. I don't lose myself in this. So, just wanted to make that clear in the opening monologue. Don't send me any emails about it. I know people are going to ask, what the hell are you talking about? Trust me. That's just a personal little message. I just want to take a little time to do that. Forgive me. JC, do we have somebody in the 201 area code? Who's calling us from Jersey? Oh, they're suspicious.
Yeah. No, we're just going to send somebody listening. That's all. Listen.
Oh, well, that's fine. Well, we appreciate anybody who calls in and anybody who wants to check us out. We thank you from somebody calling in from New Jersey. I hope it's from the Jersey City area. Have to give a large shout-out to those hoodlums and hoodlets living in the New Jersey area. Violent bunch of people they are. I think Jersey City people, for some odd reason, do all the violence that they do because they're not New York and they're trying to compete with people across the Hudson, but that's just me.
I'm just wondering.
And look at this, 578 area code calling on a number. Who's calling from 578? Do we know someone from that area code?
Not to my knowledge. Let's call them back and find out.
Sure, let's call them back and find out, of course. Find out who the hell that is. Anyway, bottom line is, we got plenty of stuff to get into. In the 9 o'clock hour, maybe about 9:30, near the end of the show, I will get into us going to court on, today. Wow, damn. It feels like 2 days, but we've been gone for the whole day. We went to New York, came immediately back as a 15-hour trip, did 4 hours going, 4 hours coming back, did the whole thing in one day, back here by 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock to be exact. So I'll explain all that about 3 o'clock, let you guys know what the deals were. No answer?
Just says the number you have dialed is incorrect.
Oh, okay. Anyway.
Must be a telemarketer.
So let me get back to my point. We went all the way down there.
All the way up there.
Sorry, all the way up there. 1 o'clock in the morning, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. Got there, went to court. Left at 11 and
I think we walked out of the courtroom at 10 o'clock, got to Port Authority, got to Port Authority at, 5 minutes to 11. We were on the 11 o'clock bus and back in D.C. by 3:20.
There you go. So it was literally just a quick kit and caboodle, in, out, gone, over with.
There, showed up for court, and back in less than 15 hours.
But I will break all that down to you in the 9 o'clock, 9:30 hour. And I'll explain all that stuff to you. So give us a chance to, and we'll do that. Plenty of stuff in the news today. I was immensely shocked today by Joe Biden. And we'll get into him. I want to do that after the break. But, folks, when I tell you, on Reese on the Radio, that you should never ever doubt me. When I say don't doubt me, don't freaking doubt me. I'm always right when it comes to these stories. I'm always right on point when it comes to these stories. Now, it was reported this week that Jesse Jackson Jr., Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr.'s son, his namesake, if you will, has now gone into hiding. He showed up in a hospital. He claims to have bipolar disease. And I said it was a ruse. I said it was bogus. I said it was bull. Something's going on with this guy. Something is going on, and it's something that's really, really deep. It's deep-pocketed. There's a scandal going on. And look, I'll be the first to tell you, if it's got the names Jesse and Jackson attached to it, it is a scandal afoot. A scandal is afoot. Those Negroes know the Chicago way. Those Negroes are always hooked up in something that's cooked up.
Oh, I like that. That just came off the top of my
head.
That
was a good hook.
You like that, right?
I do.
They are hooked up in something cooked up. I like that. That's
watch out, people.
Watch out now.
Reese is on fire tonight.
I'm on fire tonight. And you can't trust them. Jesse Jackson is a snake oil seller. Yes, he is. Yes, the Pops. You know he sells snake oil. There's no denying it.
Sells snake oil and sleeps with white women.
That's right. And you know the apple don't fall far from the tree. God damn it, it's his namesake, for crying out loud. Well, what's the point I'm getting to? A whistleblower and documents in Illinois, state workers forced to attend a Pelosi and Jesse Jackson Jr. event on the taxpayer dime. Documents and a whistleblower affidavit obtained by the Daily Caller charged that House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, Illinois Democratic Rep. Jesse Jackson Jr., and Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr., participated in an unethical and possibly illegal effort to force 76 employees of an Illinois state agency to engage in political activity on the taxpayer dime. According to the whistleblower, Reverend Jackson also encouraged the government employees to load first-generation and low-income college students up with student loan debt because Democrats in Congress, he alleged, promised would eventually pass laws to forgive that debt later. Those people will continue to vote Democrat, Jackson Sr. said, according to the whistleblower. On March 3rd, Nancy Pelosi flew into Chicago to endorse Representative Jackson Jr., 17 days ahead of a heated March 20th Democratic primary he later won. Pelosi was scheduled to make the endorsement at a press conference later in the day. After she participated in the hour-long forum hosted by Jackson Sr. at the headquarters of his Progressive Rainbow Push Coalition, Pelosi politicized the forum, jumping the gun endorsing Jackson Jr. earlier than planned. One of the reasons I'm here, quote, and I will do this following this wonderful meeting, is to publicly state my endorsement of Jesse Jackson Jr. for re-election, she said. Quote, I do so with great pride. I remember when he came to Congress with a great name, a great tradition. But he came and he made his own mark in Congress from his own generation. Now, they say chairman for the Goods of Illinois PAC, a former 2010 GOP gubernatorial candidate endorsed by Polish Solidarity movement founded by Lech Walesa, told the Daily Caller that a state government agency forcing workers to go to the event was likely illegal, even if it failed to violate any specific law. The activity was undoubtedly unethical. So there it is. They're bringing these people in. They're pulling them in, and they're paying them to stand in a room where Nancy Pelosi is endorsing Jesse Jackson Jr. Now, obviously, there are some heads that are going to roll here.
Well, this is just like them paying people to get them out to vote for Obama. They're sending out voter registrations with your welfare checks.
I'm telling you, this is so typical. No wonder the guy is claiming he's got bipolar disease. The reason why he's got bipolar is because he doesn't know which issue he's going to deal with yet. He's all over the place. He's got problems after problems. I'd be bipolar too. One day I'm happy, one day I'm sad. You swindling piece of garbage.
One day I'm free, next day I'm in jail.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure he's going into the hospital so he can see what it's like to be inside those four walls for a considerable amount of time.
Will he be in a straitjacket in a rubber room?
I don't see why not.
I want to see photos.
We might just have to. We might just have to.
Is Jesse Jackson's mistress going to go visit him?
Probably. I think they'll all visit him. And I don't care about Santita Jackson being on Fox News. Okay? I don't care anything about that broad. That's another liar. She's a flat-out liar. I mean, Roger Ailes, who knows why he hired her over at Fox News, but I know it was probably to discredit that family, to get her on some of these talk shows and get blown out of proportion and show her up to be the liberal piece of garbage her family name is. So you have to forgive me, because I've got no issue with calling Santita Jackson a nigger bitch. Never had an issue with it.
Wow.
Got no problem with it. This is one lying-ass nigger bitch. Because her family's filled with liars. Oh, I don't care about that, JC. I told you that they were listening. What I'm respecting is, what I can really respect is a response. Now, JC is talking about my earlier monologue about a certain individual who I know, and it's not something I recently found out. I always knew. I've known since March, maybe even April. No, actually, a lot earlier than that.
Is that his real name?
No, no, no.
Oh.
I've known this for a while. So they can't come back and they can't make a statement about it because the proof is in the pudding. So I'm not worried about that.
Hey, I'm going to interrupt you for one moment.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
We've got Dennis from Massachusetts calling in.
Yeah, I was about to take his call right now. For those of you who call in, please do so. The number is 347-308-8701. Dennis in Massachusetts, thank you for joining the show, sir.
Happy birthday, Reese. And I was wondering if you were going to have a cake in the shape of chains and everybody was going to wear a Joe Biden mask.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I'm going to bring it up after the break, Dennis. What insanity that was. Can he
Well, that's Joe. What did you expect from Joe that my father was a coal miner in, was it Wales or was it Pennsylvania? I forgot which one I stole it from.
How about this one? This isn't the last time that, I mean, this is the first time, I should say, that Joe Biden has ever made the quote-unquote slavery gaffe or references to it. It was back during the time when he was running for president of the United States.
He was running for VP.
No, he's running for president. He was running for president of the United States. And there were some claims about Delaware and how Delaware leans politically. And he was trying to make the point that that Delaware was one of those traditional states. And in describing his state and says, you know, Delaware is a such and such state. And then he goes, we're a slave state. And I went, what? I said this.
I was just wondering if Joe Biden made the statement about chains in a sign language. He got in trouble over that today.
Yeah, well, I heard he was mimicking the sign language interpreter while he was giving his speech. You know, this guy has got the mentality of a 14-year-old boy.
Well, I don't understand why every time he comes out, every time they let him out by himself, he screws up. Stop letting him out. Don't let him out to play on his own.
Don't you understand that's the reason why Obama...
He needs guidance. Obama what? You better pick a new VP then.
Obama picked him because of the fact that this guy was... If anything, he
because
just...
he
be
makes
a
Obama look really,
oh, he looks
real
Obama
good.
Look brilliant. I mean, Dennis, doesn't Obama look brilliant?
He's the gift that keeps on giving.
Exactly. He makes Dan Quayle look like a scholar. And I hate to rip on Dan Quayle, but come on. People call Dan Quayle silly for the potato remark, but let's be honest. Joe Biden, come on, he's a gift to Quayle.
I mean, I can't agree more. I mean, Joe, the funny part about it and the dangerous thing is, or the scary part is, he's sincere.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
That's the scary part. And it's even worse that the people of Delaware elected him when he was 29. He wasn't even eligible to take the seat until he became 30. He had to wait a few weeks. That should tell you something about the electorate of Delaware.
Yeah, I think that really puts that right out there on Front Street. Dennis, again,
yeah,
and
then the Republican nominee 2 years ago, they made a big deal. Was she a practicing witch?
Oh, my God, that's right.
Remember that one, O'Donnell?
Yes, yep, O'Donnell. Yeah, exactly. I mean,
I would have diffused it by going on the air and wiggling my nose and asking if Darren was anywhere around and then move on.
That was just awful. So, Dennis, what are you doing up in Boston? Did you go to St. Rocco's this year?
No, I didn't. I just got off the horn with a competitor of yours who finishes up just before you're ready to start down in Alabama.
Ha-ha!
Oh, wow.
Did you go check him out? He's a good guy.
I went on the air with him.
You did, Dennis? Is he a good kid or what?
Yeah, he is.
I love that.
The thing I discussed about, and which the mainstream media, the lamestream, is going to ignore, is about the Russian Akula.
The Russian what?
And he was wondering what that was. Yeah, you were wondering too. Do you remember the gift that Putin gave us on the 4th of July, just a little tickle when he sent the bombers almost into U.S. airspace by Alaska?
Okay.
Well, we just found out that he had a nuclear-tipped submarine off the coast in the Gulf, which we couldn't detect for a month.
We just read that this
afternoon.
The damn thing was undetected. I'm sitting up here, and Mary's looked at me, and she says, oh, great.
And they're going to give an Akula to Venezuela. Maybe we can give some KY jelly to Sean Penn.
Oh my God.
Well, the question is that do we give it to Sean Penn
extra
to use on Chavez, or do we give it to Chavez to use on Sean Penn? Because it looks like Sean Penn's the one.
For both of them.
On this one.
We're laughing about it, but this is a very serious issue because the Obama administration is cutting back on our defenses. They would have you think that Paul Ryan is throwing Granny over the stairs. Now, I wouldn't mind if that Granny was Nancy Pelosi, but this is something serious about our national defense. You know, when a submarine can operate stealthily, very quiet, we were supposed to have been able to hear them as soon as they came out of port from any microphones placed in Virginia. And that's not the case anymore. And I want to know how they got that technology. The last time they got technology was from the Walker spy ring.
Wow. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
These are serious issues that no one's discussing, except maybe your show.
Yeah, again, but the bottom line is that what I find amazing is that if anyone heard about this, I'm sure that if anyone heard this story in they haven't heard it in mainstream media, but if anybody had even heard this story, their first question was, why wasn't anybody talking about this? Like, how do we not know about this? It would be like waking up one day and it would be Red Dawn.
Or they would think, given the American electorate, that we were talking about a comeback of Kukla, Fran, and Ollie.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
There's something out of the past. It's way past your time, but Kukla, Fran, and Ollie was the puppeteers back in the 50s. I used to watch them as a kid. Well, I'm older than you.
Well, I had at least a grandmother and a very, very avid television watcher as a mother who literally raised me on television. She just plopped me in front of it and made me watch.
As you fell over because your head was so heavy.
Thanks, Mayor. Appreciate it. Dennis, as always, my friend, thank you.
Or shizzle.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
For shizzle.
Thanks, Dennis. Well,
did he just say
happy birthday, Reese?
Thanks, friend. I appreciate it again.
Take care.
Thanks.
Good night.
JC, what did you say now? Oh, I thought he had something to say. Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. It's Reese on the Radio. Bottom of the hour coming up.
On the radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Anybody heard from LaToya on this one? Isn't she eerily absent?
She's the big mouth of the family.
She is the big mouth. She's dropping loose change on the family. She's not into dimes. She likes quarters, half dollars. But that I find extremely odd that she's not around. She's got to get her act together. Get in here. I mean, I can't believe I'm actually saying this. LaToya, please come out and get this family in order. You're the only one left to do it. In all of this mayhem, you're the only person that seems normal here. And you're an extreme whack job. You're an extreme whack job. But through all of this, you're the only normal person throughout this whole thing, with the exception of the kids. Maybe not Blanket so much. But all of them, you look like the normal one.
It's Reese on the Radio weeknights right here on blogtalkradio.com.
If I don't recognize your name, you're a nobody. Look, I don't make this much beef about my broad getting into the house to cook me a meatloaf. But they're really excited about this guy going from one souffle to a big zucchini. I don't know what it is, but she can't stop yammering about this.
Was it Michael Simon?
That's him. That's the guy. That's the guy, Michael Simon. Never forget him. Okay, I'll always forget his name because he's a nobody. But anyway, Michael Simon, the ball-headed guy, right? That's it.
Right, right.
Okay, so yeah, he wears a lot of plaid.
Yeah, that's
it. He's dressed like the chef. Whatever.
He's an Iron Chef.
Yeah. Is he an Iron Chef?
Yeah, he is.
Is that significant?
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty big.
Is it a big deal in the foodie world?
Yeah, it is.
Really?
Yeah, it is. It's pretty big.
Seriously?
Yeah, it is.
They can lick my balsamic vinegar. It's Reese on the Radio weeknights right here on blogtalkradio.com.
We will not take a dime from Washington lobbyists. or special interest cuts. They will not fund my party. They will not run our White House. We're going to change how Washington works.
This headline in today's New York Times sure seems at odds with that promise to put Washington on the side of the little guy, not the lobbyist.
A rather long list of names of people who are working on Obama's transition team or who have accepted jobs in his White House.
I'm in this race to tell the lobbyists in Washington that their days of setting the agenda are over. They will not work in my White House.
The administration has hired several lobbyists, the president of a lobbying firm that worked for General Motors and Fannie Mae.
Sally Sussman leads Pfizer's powerful lobbying shop. She's organized events for the president, and she's also donated money for the president and bundled for him.
Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner appointed former top lobbyist for Goldman Sachs as his chief of staff, appointed to the number two position at the Defense Department, a former top lobbyist.
Hundreds of meetings between Obama administration officials and lobbyists, and no official record of who.
The number of fundraisers for the president have also benefited hugely from the energy loan program.
Isn't the president opening himself up to just a charge of hypocrisy on this?
Just a litany of people who have raised so much money who are clearly lobbyists.
President Obama hasn't even made a token effort to keep his campaign promises of more openness and transparency. It was all just another lie that was told in order to get elected.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama is attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Bottom of the hour right here on Reese on the Radio, 37 minutes after the hour on blogtalkradio.com. August 14th, 2012, most important day of the year to me, at least to me.
It's your birthday.
No, please don't do that. Reese on the Radio here.
Well, Negro, it is your birthday.
It's not my birthday. It doesn't.
It's your birthday. That's what I say.
Can you do the th?
No, it's your birthday.
Anyway, Reese on the Radio here with Mary. Mary, why you bugging?
Your mother birthed you today.
Mother?
Your mother birthed you today.
With a V. My mother is with a V now. Whatever.
Your mother. Your mother birthed you today.
All right.
43 years ago.
Anyway. 30 minutes.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. 38 minutes after the hour, we got a phone call again. If you wish to call in, the number is 347-308-8701. We have Wade in Morristown, New Jersey on the line. Wade, welcome to the show.
Hey, yo, thanks, folks. Real quick, and before you hang up on me because you seem like the type that would do something like that, let me say this real quick.
I don't do that.
All right, cool. All right, that's good to know. I would rather
you come with the vitriol and the venom, and then you stick around for me to retort the vitriol and the venom. Now, if you automatically come off as saying, I'm going to hang up on you, then therefore you're warning me that you're going to say something that I think is offensive. Nothing offends me.
No. I'm not going to hurt your feelings or anything like that unless you're
well,
sensitive. I was just saying, yeah, you seem like the dude that would hang up on somebody. That's all I'm saying. But let me say what I'm saying.
Oh.
I was listening earlier and briefly heard you say a little bit about catching a case or something like that. And I just wanted to ask you, did you catch a case for popping off and talking trash, or what exactly was your case for?
Oh, well, if you really want to know the breakdown of my case, I would suggest that you go to ResellerRadio.com, and you can go to the a little section there that's called the People versus Edward Reese Hopkins. You can read the entire outline, or hold on, or you can go to the About section on that website. You can read the entire breakdown. But to give you a summation of what the case was, in 2008, I was arrested because a girl who was a friend of my daughter's accused me of rape in 2004 in New York City, even though I was working with the Star and Buck Wild show in Hartford, Connecticut at the time. The girl waited 3.5 years later to report the crime. They came and extradited me from Boston, where I was doing a radio show in Boston, brought me to New York City. I sat in jail for 2.5 years. The girl got on the stand, changed her story, couldn't get her facts straight. It was obvious the arresting officer and the person she made her complaint to ended up testifying in my defense when he realized that he had been lied to. And I've been waiting to have this case resolved for the past year and a half since I was released from jail on bail April 6th of 2011. And so I went to court to New York today because the prosecution, who has been stonewalling because they have a witness that they know is lying and has too many inaccuracies, has been forcing me back to go to court because they cannot deal with any more egg on their face. This is the New York City District Attorney's Office that had the case with Dominique Strauss-Kahn, where they ended up the woman was lying. They had the rape cop situation where the cop was acquitted of rape. They also had the rabbi who was charged with rape. Same case, just like mine. Girl says she was 7, doesn't report it until she's 17. They drag him all the way from Arizona. Turns out she has consistencies. So this district attorney's office has egg on its face. And plus, they know that I'm a big mouth. They know that I have no fear about attacking them publicly. So they do not want to have to drop this case. So they're doing everything to pursue it and not let it go, because they know that I have no fear about challenging them. Usually when somebody walks up to you and says that you're going to do 25 years for a rape and then comes to you 13 months later and says, we'll give you time served, just admit to lower crimes, that means they never had a case. My response to them was, I'm going on CNN, and I went on CNN, and you can see that interview as well on ResellerRadio.com, and I took it straight to their face because I didn't do the crime and I wasn't taking anything for it. I'll fight this till the day I die.
Right. I see, brother. And I appreciate all of that. I appreciate you breaking it down and all the shameless self-promotion. I appreciate that. Now, let me ask you this. After a situation like that, how did you feel? Like, what was your attitude towards women, A, that's number one, and number two, B, did you ever fear anal rape?
When I was in jail?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, when I was in jail, I actually never feared anybody. See, when I walked into jail, I understood that my innocence was bolder than anything or anybody. My innocence and my personality. Now, I sat in jail for 2.5 years. I spent a year and a half of that on Rikers Island. I was in C-95. I was in C-94. There were plenty of people who knew what I was in jail for. People knew me. They knew me as Crossover Negro Reese, formerly of the Star and Buck Wild show. But the one thing that each and every one of those guys said was, dude, we've been upstate. We've seen people who do that kind of crime. That's not you. So my integrity far outweighed people's opinion in the media. But then again, that's what it is that I do. I challenge conventional wisdom. When people out there look at you and they say, oh, you were accused of rape, you must have done it, I challenge that. I said, that's just like saying because you're in jail, you're automatically guilty of a crime. So when I sat there, never got into one fight, never ever had one rip on my personal file. I was the president of the inmate council in both buildings in Manhattan and in Rikers Island, or in two buildings in Rikers Island, C-95 and C-73. So I was literally probably one of the most well-known people in Rikers Island and in the Manhattan Detention Center. So I never feared anal rape, as you so eloquently put it, because I knew that if somebody was going to step to me, I was going to fight for my life. because that's what it was I was doing in the first place.
I got you. So what about the your attitude towards women?
My attitude towards women has never, ever been phased. My attitude is towards my accuser. It would be like saying if a white woman got robbed by a black guy, all blacks are thieves. You see what I'm saying? So we would argue that all day. As a black man, any black man would argue that. Just because you got robbed by a black man don't mean we're all thieves. But just because one woman lied about, you know, this particular scenario doesn't mean that all women are shiesty. I don't have any fear or angst or anxiety towards women. I don't think that there are women out there who do that. But you know what? Humans are humans. Scumbags are scumbags. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter whether or not you're a woman or a man. You're a piece of shit, because you're, pardon my language, but you're a piece of shit because you're a piece of shit. It has nothing to do with what your gender or your race. All men, all women are evil and have evil tendencies. So I only view this as the person who did this to me is the person who did something evil. The better question is do I have any animosity towards the person who lied on me and put me in for 2.5 years? That answer is this: no, because only God has that vengeance. I have no vengeance against my accuser. God will sort that out. That's his job to do. I only wish for one thing, and that is to clear my name, and I will do that through the justice system.
Cool. Nah, I mean, it's my first time tuning into your show. I appreciate you inviting me in. And I didn't call in to attack you at all. I was just basing my opinion on you hanging up on me. Yeah, it's just first impressions. I've been hung up on before, and you sounded like the type that would do it. That's the only reason I said that.
Well, again, I will say this. What Reese on the Radio is about is that, and I've said this over and over again, on Reese on the Radio, we deal with the hard questions, and we give the hard facts. We've never, ever shy away from the truth. Because without truth, there could be no justice. And that's what this show is about. It's about exposing all the lies from nowhere. We cover everything from politics to pop culture. Okay? We'll do a whole show about the Jackson family if we have to or if we think it's relevant. We cover everything. And we don't shy away. I'm the only guy in this business who's been accused of such a heinous crime and has never, ever shied away from talking about it when someone asks.
Oh, no, I mean, that definitely not, brother. You got a big-ass mouth, and you love to talk about yourself for sure. So, I mean, I can see you not shying away from that conversation. But what's your issue with Jersey, by the way?
Wade, can I just say, though, you have to admit, you've stayed on the line, my man. He's a pretty interesting guy, isn't he?
Oh, no, I'm not complaining about old dude at all. I mean, he's all right. Yeah, I hung on the line, and again, I'm surprised he didn't hang up on me, but I guess he's not that type of dude. I just wanted to find out what his issue with Jersey is.
Oh, no. Forgive me. If you got any impression that I'm ripping on Jersey, I'm only ripping on Jersey City. Let me explain to you why. My mom moved out to Jersey City. We're originally from Queens. And my mom's moved out to Jersey City. And when she moved out there, I witnessed a personal, as far as she lived in the hood. She lived on Cortelyou. I'm sure you're familiar with that. Are you not familiar with that? No,
I'm in Morristown. I'm not in Jersey City.
He moved to Carteret. What I noticed about the kids in that neighborhood, there was sort of like this eagerness to be tougher than those towns that they heard about usually in the news. You know what I mean? You hear about Brooklyn. You hear about Bed-Stuy. You hear about, you know what I'm saying? You hear about Brownsville. You hear about these towns in the news as being gangsta, gully, whatever it is. I almost felt like Jersey was doing what Queens did back in the 80s. Queens tried so hard to try to outdo Brooklyn, because everybody knew Brooklyn was gutter and Brooklyn was like real, real gangster. Queens tried really, really hard to be just as gangster as somebody coming from Brooklyn. You always gave the person from Brooklyn a hard time, because if you went to Queens, you got dissed. You know, when I was a kid, if you were from Queens and you went to jail, they would make fun of you. They would go, yo, where you from? I'm from Brooklyn. Yo, where you from? I'm from the Bronx. Boogie down. Yo, where you from? I'm from Moneymaker Manhattan. When you said you were from Queens, they would say, oh, you're from Queens? They would always mock that.
You might as well be from Long Island.
Yeah, exactly. You might as well be from Long Island or Staten. So for some people in Jersey City, I saw a personality of people who were just trying to be harder just so they wouldn't be sort of messed around with. So that's why I'm just stating the obvious about what Jersey. Jersey wants a name for itself. Every hood wants a name for itself. They want to be known as being not, you can't come to their town and mess with them. So that's, it's not the whole Jersey thing. I lived in Fort Lee, New Jersey for a year and a half. I loved it there. I lived on Edgewood Drive in Fort Lee. So, I mean, I loved it there. So I got nothing against Jersey.
right. I mean, I wasn't going to come on the line and defend all of Jersey. Like I said, I caught the tail end of that conversation and heard you tossing some Jersey hate out there, so I just had to find out what it was about. That was all.
Can I ask you something? What are you so passionate about Morristown, New Jersey, that made you call in to want to defend Jersey?
That's an interesting question.
Say that again. Well, say that one more time.
But she wanted to know what was it about Morristown, New Jersey, that you felt passionate enough to at least defend it? Is there something about Morristown, New Jersey?
No, not at all. No, I wasn't even on the line to defend Jersey. That was like a secondary topic. No, that wasn't even the reason I called in. I called in because I wanted to find out what your case was about, and I appreciate you explaining that and just the fact that you talked a lot. That was it.
Well, it is a talk radio show. I will admit that. And it being a talk show, I do talk a lot. I don't probably let a lot of my co-hosts get a lot of words in because I have a lot of opinions. But I bring them in for buffer.
And, yes, he does love to talk about himself. We are all well aware of that. But, you know, that's what makes him him.
But, no, I appreciate you. I mean, you're familiar with the Star and Buck Wild show. You're from Morristown.
Yeah, I've heard it. I mean, it's been years and years since I've heard it. But, no, I mean, again, I'm not even here to comment on any of that. It's just I wanted to talk about your pedantic type of personality, brother. That was about it.
Pedantic? I love it.
What is that? I don't even know what that means. What does that mean?
A pedantic means a person who loves to talk about their winning ways.
Oh, whoa. Hold on now. Wait, if I may. I understand that you're new to the show and you may not have listened to the show long enough. You know, I come from the far side theory, and I don't know whether or not you're familiar with the group Far Side, but I come from the far side theory. As much as I talk about my accomplishments, I always speak on my failures. In fact, I think my failures are better stories than my accomplishments. You know, I in a comedy sense, and I started in the comedy world back in the early 90s. Rodney Dangerfield was my favorite comedian. I call him my maternal grandfather, because what his whole theme was about getting no respect, and he talked about how he was always disrespected, how he was always made fun of, and I love that. Self-deprecating humor is what I live off of. So as much as I talk about my accomplishments, I always talk about my failures. I love my failures more than I do my accomplishments, because those things, I believe, make me me.
Exactly. I'm thinking I feel the same way. Exactly. I don't like to be praised for the things I do well so much. I love to acknowledge the things that made me the way I am by going through my phase, going through hardships and being faced with different challenges. So not
oh, fair. Absolutely. I think that if you win all the time, you never know what it's like to lose. And losing builds character. Can you agree with that?
I'm agreeing with you, brother.
Well, I appreciate you calling. I hope you – who are some of the other shows that you listen to? Do you listen to Blog Talk Radio often?
Yeah. I'm like a Blog Talk connoisseur, I guess you can say. I call into a lot of different shows, and I comment about a whole bunch of different types of stuff. And I love challenging and talking to dudes like you as well.
Oh, wait, please. You have an extended invite to call whenever it is that you like. I'd really appreciate it if you did.
I will, brother. I'll check you out again. Now that I know that you won't hang up on me.
Trust me, this show is about that kind of stuff.
Wait a minute. Now you'll call back in and you'll listen, because now you know he's not really the asshole that you really thought he was.
Exactly. That's you said it the way I didn't want to say it, because I think the hanging up on me would have been done a lot sooner if I said it that way. But yeah, you put it the way I feel, sister. Definitely.
Okay, well, sweetheart, I mean, come on. You called to represent your hometown. Represent. Say it like it is. You thought he was an asshole, and now you know.
No, it's
all good.
And I love it. I love it.
Because you know what? Honestly, every person, almost every person in your life probably thought you were an asshole.
When
they first met you.
Always
when did. I first met him, I was 14. I'm 38 now. When I first met him when I was 14, I was like, you are such a pompous, arrogant asshole. And I gave him a chance and got to know him and realized that that was just who Reese was. She wasn't really.
I noticed you didn't say she changed her mind. She still feels that way, but she just accepted it. She just accepted that shit.
Exactly. People are to accept it. Look, I'm never, ever going to change. I'm strongly opinionated. I have no fear of the word hate. I know a lot of people say, you shouldn't use the word hate. It's such a strong word. I'm a strong individual. I love the word hate. I love to hate. And that's who it is that I am. And some people get put off by that. But then when they find out who I am, they always say the same thing. I've always encouraged people to express their opinion. And not only that, even if they disagree, I still listen. Even if they disagree, I still listen.
Yeah.
Because I think that
I appreciate it. I didn't mean to cut you off. I guess I did if I did it. But let me say this, because I know you're probably tired of talking to me, and I'm definitely tired of hearing you. Let me say this. If you want to find out what I'm all about, brother, since you were nice enough to invite me in and tell me more about yourself, you can check me out if you like. Anyone who's listening can check me out. And I'm not into promotion at all that much, but since, you know, you were nice enough to share all your promotional stuff, let me say this. If anyone wants to check me out, you can check me out at theplayerhaterpodcast.com. Just do a search of Google for the Player Hater Podcast.
Oh, my God, that is you. I've been listening to your podcast for the past week. I love your show. You have no idea. I've been checking out your blog for the past week. You had some married couple on. That was the last audio that I was listening to. You had a married couple on there. No offense, I thought you were more interested than your guests. But then again, I like it that way. The guests are supposed to be boring. We're there for the host. But I've been checking you out. I love your show. You have no idea.
I appreciate that, brother. I'm glad I brought it up then, because I love to hear people say they love my shit.
Look at here.
Now, look at that. Now, but I appreciate it. And you know what? I'm going to make sure that – well, am I following you already? Because I got to make sure I am. I got to make sure I'm following
you. Well, you can follow me. If you're not, then yeah, you can definitely follow me on Twitter, Mr. Player Hater, MR Player Hater. And, I'm on Facebook as well, Urban Snobcaster.
Well, I know exactly where to find you, man, and I appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you, brother. No doubt.
All right, man. Be good. Wade in Morristown, New Jersey. Thank you for checking in, man. I know he's been listening to the show, because, you know, they tell you that when they listen to your show, they'll let you know that who the last listeners. And I saw him on there, and I saw this thing about Player Hater, which is immediately that caught my attention.
Oh, of course it did.
So I jumped on it, and I started listening to his show, and it was pretty interesting.
Better than Don Nicolione's show?
Oh, yeah. Way, way smarter. Yes, I did stab.
You know what? I mean, and no offense to you, Don Nicolione, I listened to your show one time. It didn't intrigue me to ever listen to it again.
Well, that's because they do
Yeah, you do what you
do. I think
it's
just
you do what you do, you know, it's just not for me.
There you go.
That's
exactly.
All. You know, I'm not hating, I'm just saying. It's
you're not a hater. I will do the hating.
Actually, I mean, you know, I could say a few choice words, but I won't.
Your problem is with the people who are on that show, the people who she converses with.
No, a large part of that was her, too. I mean, she never allows anybody to say anything. She's so loud. So it makes my brain crazy. I can't even think listening to it. So
you can't.
I mean, Don Nicolione, you obviously have a huge following. You know, your listeners love you. And that's great for those people that love you, you know, appreciate
that. Yeah, do your thing.
You know, do your thing, mama.
JC,
but
did you want to jump in before the top of the hour?
Listen, it's whatever. I don't give a damn about any of them. None of them are Reese on the radio.
You tell them, my man. All right, let's go to the top of the hour. We'll be right back. It's Reese on the radio.
6 years in the making.
How may I help you, my brother? Look, I'm here because I can't stand what's happening in this community.
Yes?
Yeah, and somebody has to make a change.
Yes.
Now, brother, will you help me?
Yes, I will.
I wish I could. Damn it, man. I heard the People's Revolutionary Army was once 1,000 strong. Now, what happened?
They got government jobs.
The brothers walked in with guns, came out with jobs.
The brothers weren't mad anymore.
Yes, Whitey is something else.
We're back. It's top of the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. We didn't actually, we just started right before the 9 o'clock hour. It's 8:59. What am I doing? I thought we were ready to just go to the top of the hour, but it doesn't matter. Now it's 9 o'clock. It's 9 o'clock now.
Welcome back, Reese on the Radio, top of the hour.
August 14th. Anyway, my good friend, Mike in Florida.
Stranger danger, Mike. Where you been?
Yo, happy birthday, son. You heard?
Yo, son.
What's crack-a-lacking up in D.C., homie?
Chilling, son. You know what I'm saying? Really real, son.
Yeah, I thought you and that guy were going to wash each other's balls for the next 20 minutes. Jesus.
Okay, all right. I admit, we were probably pandering a little too much.
Hey, that's ball washing, sir. Yes.
Oh, we call it ball washing now?
That's ball washing, yes. You were washing his balls.
You guys were very, very short of a bromance.
Oh, I've listened to your show for the last week. You're fabulous. Oh, no, you're fabulous.
I didn't say it was fabulous. It's a good show.
Jeez, you guys going to, like, go pick out linens together or something?
Well, no, I mean, but no. See, even with all of that, even the fact that he was, you know, he's coming off aggressive, I still turned around and told him, look, you know, again, this is who it is that I am. It doesn't matter what it is that you think about me. If you do something great, I'm not going to hide it from you. Now, all of a sudden, I'm going to pretend to hate you. If I like what it is that you do, I'm going to tell you I like what it is that you do. Yeah, I don't like Jennifer Aniston, but I love her on Friends.
Dude, Jennifer Aniston is just, she's it. Oh, my God. She could poop on me.
Oh, Mike, that's disgusting. Hey, you don't think that her co-star had a better body than she did?
Courtney Cox?
Yeah, Courtney Cox.
No way. Smoking hot.
No, the hot one was the tall, skinny blonde broad. What's her name?
Ew.
Phoebe.
Really, Lisa? Yeah, she's cute, but Aniston had that permanent raisin smuggling thing going on. It was all right.
Smelly cat.
I love that. Anyway, hold on,
before you jump into that, Reese, CBS has copied Friends this year. They got a show coming out called Partners or Pals or something with four people of comedy. Yeah, the season.
Pals?
Long as they have hot girls with the AC cranked up on the show, it'll be a hit.
Well, yeah.
The AC cranked up. You are so hilarious, Mike. Where the hell you been at?
I just got some stuff going on.
Well, whatever it is, I hope everything is all right now. We're glad.
Everything's
to
fine. You guys haven't been talking about stuff in my wheelhouse lately anyway.
We haven't been talking about stuff in your wheelhouse. What the hell is that supposed to mean?
You know I'm all about, I'm all about racism on the radio.
Well, we know that, Mike, but you have other things to talk about, just like you were talking about some other things right now.
Well, speaking of racism on the radio, you know I've got this for you. Let's talk about Joe Biden, my friend.
He's going to put y'all in chains.
Let's talk about Joe Biden. This, folks, has got to be, I mean, if this election were to ever to be called, I would just call it on this audio in and of itself.
He's going to let the big banks once again write their own rules. Unchain Wall Street. They're going to put y'all back in chains.
The Obama campaign says, while perhaps inartfully phrased, that Republicans have long used a similar metaphor, unshackling the private sector.
I cannot believe that that's how they're phrasing this now. All because the Obama, he uses unshackled, but he...
What the hell did he say?
You didn't hear
I'm kind of losing it. What was the context in which he made that statement?
He was talking about how Mitt Romney is going to unchain Wall Street so that they, you know, they can do business as usual. But he was talking to an audience that was 49% black. And when he says it, listen to how he phrases putting you back in chains.
I'm putting y'all back
well,
in chains.
That's what I just said. Well, listen to the way he phrases it.
Sorry. Oh, come on. I hate it when I do that. Here it is.
Hate to let the big banks once again write their own rules. Unchain Wall Street. They're going to put y'all back in chains.
He's going to put y'all back in chains.
No, they going to throw y'all back in chains.
The fact that he told black people in the audience, he's going to put y'all back in chains. That's just a moron. To the umpteenth degree.
But what is, my question is, what is Obama going to do next? The last time this moron came out, but the last time they let his ass out the doghouse by himself without a leash on, Obama had to come out for the gays.
He's a gaff machine.
So now what is he going to do? Is now is he going to become the president of Black America?
And then prior to that, wasn't he one of made the comment about the Indians at the 7-Eleven?
Oh, yeah. No, it was Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, no, it was the 7-Eleven.
It was 7-Eleven.
He said you can't go to a 7-Eleven without finding one of them in there.
Now, was he talking about the American Indians or was he talking about India Indians?
He was talking about India Indians.
Where the hell you been and seen a damn American Indian working at a frickin' 7-Eleven?
Yeah, he was talking about Dot, not Feather.
He was talking about Habib around the corner.
Oh, right now. That was just racially. Listen, the bottom line was that that's what this guy, this is what he does. And everything with him is surrounded by race. It's absolutely scary.
It's hilarious.
It's scary. Now, according to Stephanie Cutter, she came flat out and said that she doesn't have a problem, or the Obama administration has no problem with the fact that he said that he's going to have all y'all in chains. I mean, they don't see that that's remotely insensitive.
Well, of course they do, but you think they're going to come out and say that?
Hey, this is the beginning of the campaign really playing the race card. It's going to be dirty, 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 dirty.
But you know what the issue, Mike, here is that Obama can't do that. Obama has done nothing for black people. He's not going to do anything for black people.
Well, yeah, but he's still black. Well, he's as black as George Zimmerman, put it that way.
Yeah, you're right about
he's
that.
He's as black as what?
George Zimmerman.
Oh.
But you know what? Truth be told, I think that Obama...
And he cares about the blacks as much as they portray George Zimmerman to care about the blacks. I think George Zimmerman probably cared more about the blacks than Obama did.
That's true.
Oh, sure. I mean, let's get real. I mean, do you guys think that if Barack, Mr. Choom Gang from Hawaii, had his choice, he would not have married himself some white girl? He married Michelle Obama for politics, man. It's obvious.
You really believe that?
I totally believe that. This is like the first black woman he dated. He dated nothing but, like, white chicks his whole life.
This is true. You know, it's funny that you say that because all of the stories I've heard about him dating have been white women, and the only black woman in his life is Michelle. Because I've never heard of any other black women.
She's his Negro beard.
His Negro beard? Is that what you said?
His Negro beard. Yeah, like gay guys will have a woman to pretend they're straight.
That's
his beard. So she's his Negro beard.
I kind of like that phrase.
That was his chance to show the black people in Chicago that he was down with them, and he wasn't a sellout Uncle Tom or whatever they call him. You know, that was politics.
I guess I could. I mean, you know, we say that about Bill and Hillary Clinton, you know, that, you know, with all of his indiscretions, you know, all of the scandals and all that is, she still manages to stay married to him. And, you know, everyone says that appears to be politics. I don't understand. I couldn't understand how it would be far-fetched to say that about the Obamas.
Yeah, I mean, what were the chances of him getting elected in that district in Chicago if he had some blonde woman on his hip?
Oh.
Zero.
Zero. Thank you.
What I also found interesting, speaking of Chicago, was that in a stump speech in Chicago, I heard that he made some reference about Chicago is what America should look like or should be like.
Something like that, yeah.
Something
Chicago is a shining example of America or something.
Right. Chicago is the example of America.
What, well, Chicago now?
Yeah.
If the example
then.
Of America is black people killing each other, then he's straight up correct.
I mean, it was, for me, it was astonishing. Why not, you know, again, I plead to the super PACs, take these comments. Chicago is an example of America, is the example of America. This Joe Biden comment about putting you back in chains. This other comment that I hear where he says that a new America where everyone benefits from prosperity.
Yeah, prosperity is going to be shared or something.
Right, your prosperity is shared. I mean, they've got to start putting these bites together. And, you know, these comments about fair share. You know, the part that I don't understand is if you call him a socialist, you're some sort of racist or you're a radical. But here's a guy who says wealthy pay their fair share. Everyone shares in prosperity. You know, I mean, all of this.
Well, no, we're going to make our own commercial.
We have to. I mean, we got to put it together.
Did you hear what Russell Simmons tweeted? That delusional multimillionaire yoga guy?
Yeah, he's going to destroy our people.
They're
going
and
to destroy our people.
The guy who runs his website, Global Grind, is some white guy named Michael Skolnick.
Right,
Skolnick, after the shooting at the Sikh temple, where, six people died?
Sure.
Skolnick tweeted out that there were too many crazy white people with guns. That's the problem.
Again, I can't believe it. A white guy tweeted that out?
Well, he's kind of white. I don't think Michael Skolnick really believes he's white. He went to Howard or something.
Oh, great.
You know,
wow.
But, here's the thing. All the crazy white guys going on shooting sprees in a year don't equal who gets shot in Detroit and Chicago in a month.
This is so true. And even if it's multiple shootings, for crying out loud.
Yeah. I mean, you could have a Virginia Tech Korean shooting every week, and it still wouldn't equal what all the brothers are killing each other in Detroit and Chicago and St. Louis and Oakland and New Orleans and Birmingham and Memphis. Gee. But nobody says anything about that.
And they won't. They refuse to report it.
Brock didn't stand up Chicago and say, young brothers, quit shooting each other.
Even while he's in Chicago, that was...
Even while he's there, not a friggin' word.
Not one word to anybody about that, not even a plea to that community to say, look, you know, we need to get this together, let's need to work it out. But to say that this is an example, that Chicago is some sort of example of what America should look like?
Chicago is wonderful. No, Chicago is an example of what America is going to look like in 2050.
I hope not, man. I hope not. I look at that whole thing in Chicago. It's not probably one of the greatest movies ever, but you ever see that that TV show or heard of that TV show that came on HBO called Cosmic Slop?
I love Cosmic Slop. It was truer than people want to admit. That was prophetic.
But now, one of the guys, his name is Derek Brooks, I believe, or Derek Rose.
Okay.
One of the guys wrote this episode. Robert Guillaume starred as the black congressman.
That is my favorite episode in Cosmic Slop. I know
you're
talking about.
Everyone talks about this. James Kool-Aid Man was the first person to put me on to this. And we talked about it earlier on our show where it was revealed that Barack Obama had studied under this guy who wrote that short story that ended up on Cosmic Slop, where aliens had come to America and they had asked for all the people in the country or on the world with 85% or more melanin in their skin. And the only people that they could get to fight taking black people out of off the planet, for that matter, is the oil companies, because they were going to give reusable energy, the aliens were going to give reusable energy, the liquor companies, and cigarettes.
Yeah, pretty much.
And there's a great scene that you have to look on. I think you can look it up on YouTube, where Robert Guillaume is with all these white businessmen, and these white guys are talking about how much money they're going to lose. My favorite line is the guy who says, how much of the cognac business was going to be devastated by all the
money. Oh, yeah, totally.
It was hilarious.
And, you know, that's got to piss off the cognac makers. You know, how many hundreds of years did they spend building their brand to be luxurious and sophisticated, and next thing you know, brothers are mixing it with Sprite.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, I like a cognac.
Yeah, I like cognac too.
I like Alizé cognac.
People look at me like, but you're not black. Why are you getting Remy Martin? Like, because this shit's expensive. That's why. And now they're taking over. Now they're taking over tequila. All I can drink is Jack Daniels. Like some common redneck.
Like a common redneck.
Jack Daniels.
Like some common redneck.
Drink.
Well, is it?
Yes, it is. It is.
Jack Daniels?
Yes, they drink it everywhere in Alabama. If they ain't drinking Jack Daniels, they're drinking Jack Daniels, and the Blackies are drinking cognac.
The Blackies.
Hey, look. Jack Daniels is all right, though, man. That is a quality product.
Say Blackies, and if you got a problem with it, come with it.
I don't have a problem. What were you going to say, Mike?
Oh, Jack Daniels is a quality product, no doubt.
Oh, come on.
That is my favorite whiskey.
It is an institution. Okay, so in more, pardon me, nigga nonsense, this is my favorite story.
And you just said something to me about saying Blackies.
This is my favorite story. Detroit stores try to draw kids to school with new shoes. Now, there's an interesting angle to this story as I continue to read it. Apparently, there's an arrangement with the school district to give away a free pair of black leather Nikes to every student who comes to class on October 3rd, the day when students are counted and their numbers are used as the basis for per-pupil funding from the state and federal government. The more bodies in class, the more money schools have all year. So it's not about getting kids to come to school to learn.
No, just come one day.
Get federal funding. So it's like, hey, don't cut on October 3rd.
And
so
we're going to get you a pair of kicks.
We're going to get you a pair of kicks so that we have more money to spend. Why is no one outraged at this?
And well, the really funny thing is going to be like to see how many guys get their shoes stolen the day after.
Well, yeah, probably so.
There's going to be one guy in the neighborhood with 50 pairs.
Now, the school district will hand out vouchers to every child in every grade, which could add up to 14,000 to 17,000 pairs of shoes. We know this is a great cause for the community. It's something that needs to be done. Saying they're not worried about the cost of all of these shoes because it's about educating our kids.
Oh, bullshit. It's not educating your kids. It's about getting them to come to school one day so you can get a little bit of money. God damn.
Detroit schools have been plagued with failing test scores, jumbled finances, violence, and plummeting student population. The district emergency manager, Roy Roberts, unveiled a plan this spring to eliminate the district's deficit in 5 years, reduce crime in the schools, improve test scores, and start a new culture of success in the district by giving them Nikes. And so,
you know, I read a story about the Atlanta school district.
Yes,
a bunch of Atlanta got in trouble because they were actually in Atlanta proper. The teachers were like giving kids answers and faking stuff so they could pass a standardized test.
Absolutely.
The website did a comparison between, you know, Atlanta district, where they spend some ridiculous amount of money per student on these kids, and some poor little redneck middle of nowhere Georgia school district spent like a third as much.
and the poor white kids outperformed the kids in Atlanta by 2/3 better.
Again, it's always in these poor, horrible black communities that the part that baffles me is what these people are saying is that we cannot draw these kids into school with the sheer thought of educating them. We have not been able to tell these kids, come into school, get an education so you can get a good job. Now it's come into school so you can get some sneakers.
Here's the number.
And we can take the government's money.
They compared Atlanta with Rabun County, right, which is a hillbilly, middle of nowhere, all-white district, right?
Right.
The median income's the same, even though the blacks earn more money. Fifth graders in both schools scored almost identically in the standardized test. The major differences were the black kids got $3,000 each more yearly in educational funding than the white kids, and 51.4% of the black classrooms were flagged for cheating, while there was no cheating in the hillbilly school. For the kids in Atlanta to score as well as hillbillies with no money, they had to cheat and get an extra $3,000 each.
Wow. I love this one quote. It says, the progressives only want kids there one day so they can get funding for their jobs. As the late but still voting Albert Shanker said, I'll concern myself with children when they pay union dues. Wow.
Here's some names from the teachers that were doing the cheating in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Here you go, buddy. Suwana, Raquetta, Chinelle, Tremelia, Denethia, Lucius, Lashane, Kawana, Lucrelia, Jamisha, Quabina, Ketcha, Latricia, Tifonia, Tabika. Come on, dude.
Are they Polish?
Holy
yeah,
shit.
They're a bunch of Poles. What kind of education are you going to get when your teacher's name is Tabika?
When every person you named was like there was no, you know, Kimberly.
I don't begrudge somebody giving their kid an actual African name. If you're going to be Afrocentric, there's millions of African names, but none of those are African names. Those are
name
just
them Undugu
names. That's not Swahili.
That's just the worst I've ever heard in my entire life.
That's Wagano.
It's just sad, man. And yeah, we're at the point now that people are so sensitive, and I'm pointing fingers at stupid liberal white people, that nobody wants to talk about this stuff. It's just, you can't mention it, or the first thing they say is, you're a racist. Like, you're not a racist if you point out some shit that's absolutely true and should be addressed.
Yeah. That's the thing, is like you call it racist because you don't want to bring attention to the truth. That I find even more fascinating, is that
when you bring up the disparity in violent crime, right? And it's, dude, I've been doing my research, man. It's everywhere. You know, black people in England make up something like 2% of the population. No, it's 35% of the people in jail.
Wow.
And there's no reason for that crap in England. You can't say that the British brought them there under slavery and ruined their families and all that. These fools all moved there in the last 40 years.
You're absolutely right. You know, the large influx of African Americans have only happened since in the 60s.
Yeah, they got all the Jamaicans and the Caribbeans, and they just don't get along. And shit, Canada's got the same problem. Canadians are like 2% of the population is black. There's something like 25% of the prison population in Canada that's always been Negro friendly.
That's amazing. Hey, Edward.
Canada said, hey, why don't you move up here and get rid of those evil Americans? Which, in hindsight, may not have been a wise move.
Yeah, absolutely not. Hey, Edward, how you doing?
Yeah, I think Canada is really regretting helping out with that Underground Railroad thing.
Well, you know, as a Southerner, I have to say, if any of these northern states had said, hey, should we import these Negroes? We probably would have said, you know, really? Yeah. Not the best idea. It ain't going to work out for you at all.
I'm, you know, it's until they can actually step, what it is that they need to do, honest to goodness, is, and it's going to take it to really, really happen, there's got to be something that is so heinous that the media cannot avoid it. It's got to be. And it's one of those things that I used to say this a long time ago. I'm sure Edward would probably remember this. Maybe even JC will remember this. But I used to say this on WRKO, and a lot of people kind of looked at me and just said it was weird that I would even say it. But I said that rap music had gotten so bad, it had gotten so awful, that it was time for a rapper to die. And I said, look, you know, one of these guys, one of these vinyl rappers has to die in a hail of bullets. In fact, I'm endorsing it. Somebody has to die. Because that's the only way that the music improves. The music becomes more conscious. It's because it has to do. It has to happen in order for the music to really reflect on itself. And to evolve. It has to reflect on itself and to say, look, this is getting out of hand. So someone's got to die. So what I thought was interesting is what I thought maybe we should do a poll, but then everybody was going, no, that was too much. Anyway, I still think we do. But I think for the African-American community to be put out there right on Front Street for the entire world to see, for the violence, whatever it is that's going on, that something so heinous has to happen where this person is the George Zimmerman of a black crime, if you get my meaning. You know what I'm saying? Because if you really think about it, can anybody name the guy who was charged and convicted for the Atlanta child murders?
Yeah.
You okay, Mike, you probably can.
Yeah. Wayne Williams.
Yeah, most people can.
What was funny about that one is the conspiracy theorists were saying it was probably some Klansman killing black kids.
Right.
It's like, I don't really think the Klan works that way. The Klan doesn't just pick up little Negroes and throw them off bridges.
That whole thing, when people look at that story, I always go, why is it that that story wasn't as – I mean, you make huge deals or productions out of guys like Timothy McVeigh, Charles Manson, you know, John Wayne Gacy. You make huge productions out of those crimes. The guy, the Atlanta child murderer, literally a buzz. In fact, if I remember this correctly, do you remember the actor who played his lawyer in the movie, in the TV movie?
No.
Jason Robards.
Okay.
And the only reason why I remember that is because I'm a big Jason Robards fan. That's the only reason why I know it. And I forget who was the actor who played Wayne. I don't even remember who it was.
Well, you know, there was another really prolific black serial killer. His name is Coral Lee Watts.
I remember him.
He supposedly killed a lot of people. I mean, not like Otis Toole-level killing, but like 30 people or something. And no press at all. The only press he got was when something was up with the law, he might have got out of jail. But he should be in the pantheon of serial killers, and nobody knows him. And I think the media didn't push it because he looked black.
You know who, let me tell you something, you know who we need again? Because this is the only time that I know that a black man killed a score of people in a hail of bullets who was not treated like he was some sort of political prisoner. Colin Ferguson.
Oh, yeah.
Remember him?
I do.
Come on, guys. Edward, you remember him?
Oh, yeah, I was living in New York City at the time.
Come on. You remember him? The Long Island shooter? Long Island Railroad shooter?
Why wasn't he called a racist terrorist, by the way?
Exactly! He was clearly a racist terrorist! And he defended himself in court!
And he was like, I hate white people and all this stuff, and nobody said anything.
But my favorite part of that story, because, again, they made him out to be a joke. Here were all of these people who died, who were shot and killed. He shot a pregnant woman, for crying out loud.
But he didn't shoot them all at one time. He was just randomly shooting people, right?
He was just walking.
Not randomly. He was specifically targeting white people.
Well, he was.
But he didn't do it all in the same day.
Yeah, it was the same day.
Yeah.
It was in one sitting.
Okay.
It was in one sitting. And he shot this one pregnant woman, My favorite part of this trial is that the pregnant woman is on the stand, and he's cross-examining her.
Oh, my God.
And he's asking her whether or not she saw him shoot her. And she's looking at him like, I was looking at you, nigga. Like, I saw you shoot. And he's literally cross-examining
her. He killed her. Wounded 19.
And what was that?
Was that the lady that he pissed off talking to her in third person?
Yes. He was like, did you...
Yeah.
Like he wasn't the shooter.
Right.
It says here that he spoke out in college against coexistence with white people. He made calls for violence and revolution. He shouted to his professor, we should be talking about the revolution in South Africa and how to get rid of the white people, kill everybody white. He told students the black revolution will get you. So, come on, man. This guy was like, he was a racist terrorist. And
yeah, exactly. But that's what I'm saying. And I, again.
So what ended up happening in the case?
Well, he, of course he was found guilty. He's been in what, life? How many life terms is he serving?
Yeah, he's had a pass of a crazy pill.
Let's see here. Oh, he used the black rage defense. He said that it was so hard being a black man in America, he went crazy and he had to kill white people.
Yeah, that's right.
Nice. He had Kunstler and Ron Kuby were his attorneys, and he got rid of them. He defended himself.
That's right.
That was great, that court, well, that court trial.
But that was a sensational.
He's doing 6 concurrent 50-year sentences.
Wow.
300 years.
That's incredible.
You'll never see daylight again.
Oh, and to top it off, he got in a fist fight in prison with Joel Rifkin.
Oh,
oh
get
my God. Wow.
They were bragging about who killed more people.
Oh, my God.
Rifkin told him, I wiped out 6 white devils and you only killed women. And Rifkin said, yeah, but I killed more people. So Ferguson punched Rifkin.
That is awesome.
You know.
You can't write this crap.
You have to send me that link. Mike, you have to.
Yeah, it's on his Wikipedia page. It's Colin Ferguson Wikipedia. Yep. But, you know, you were talking about rappers and, you know, like a rapper would have to die for the music to change. No, dude. I mean, the 2 biggest rappers at the time got shot, you know, Tupac and Biggie. And all it did was create a cult of Tupac and Biggie worship.
Well, I appreciate that. You're absolutely right. It did.
It's not the good, you know, Biggie was just a crack dealer. He was a low level, whatever. But Tupac was a friggin' rapist.
Yeah. Again, bottom line, what I'm saying is that yes, there was a cult of worship that happened for Tupac and Biggie, all these people. But guess what? More people in the rap community were asking for a toning down of the violent rhetoric. That's what I'm saying. And you're right. There was a Biggie and Tupac sort of worship thing going on. But there were these people out there who were calling for the music to sort of tone down, to be a little more reflective of the violence that was going on as opposed to being, you know, pro-violence.
And now it's all about my dick and my car. You know, the only person...
I have money in popping bottles.
And my down-ass bitch.
Wait, yep. Hold on.
The only guy from that scene that I miss, who I felt bad about getting shot, was Jam Master Jay.
Yeah. Well,
shot because he couldn't control his gambling habit or something.
I heard that a lot. And I'm hoping that's not true, but it was probably the case.
Kind of dumb to shoot somebody who owes you money. You know?
Yeah.
You can't really trade you after that.
Yeah, how do you get
the money? You're supposed to kneecap him like the mafia did. Jesus. You don't kill a guy.
Break his production finger.
That's poor planning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that you're absolutely right there, 100%. Real poor planning.
I sent you a tweet.
Yeah.
Your friends at the new Black Panther Party are at it again.
Dude, we are so on it. Thank you for bringing it up. We are about to talk about it. I need to get that audio. because I was having a problem with the site that had it. Could you guys just let me take a break? I promise you, we will come back to that because this broad, this punk bitch is back at it again, Michelle Williams.
Me and I said, he said, but guess who said it? And I'm, of course, like, Sean Qualley said it. And he's like, nope, Michelle Williams. I couldn't believe it. I mean, broad, you already had to apologize.
That's
and, all,
and you know we're
you
going
were
to play.
With my beautiful white sister.
Yeah, so do I. We'll get back to you guys. Stick around. We'll be back at 3 Sons of Radio. And you'd be stunned at some of the people who call up to spend some time with Reese on the Radio. He is the godfather of entertainment, Mr. Michael Lohan. Mr. Lohan!
Reese, I have to stop laughing before we continue. I don't know how to respond to this. Am I in the Twilight Zone?
you are in the Twilight Zone. On the phone with us right now on Reese on the Radio is the connoisseur of the Hollywood biz, the father of the famed actress Lindsay Lohan. Mr. Michael Lohan is on the show on Reese on the Radio. Thank you for joining us today, sir.
No, thanks for having me, Reese. It's going to be a lot of fun, I can tell already.
Oh, man, you have no idea how much fun we are going to have today. It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mary, Mary, why you bugging?
James, you're on the air?
Yep.
Before you say anything, you are just going to come clean right now, okay? I'd like to know the adult beverage you enjoy.
Beverage? Yeah, I'm drinking beer.
What kind of beer are you drinking, James? Is it a 211?
Oh, yes.
You're drinking a 211?
Yes.
You're drinking 211 nice. Steel Reserve.
Right now.
The reason why it's called Steel Reserve, and it's called 211 for that matter, is that the police code, 211, means robbery in progress.
And don't let me tell you what that 211 has stolen from you tonight, my man.
It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the 5 states where Obama is attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, Reese, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States. States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
lot of memorable phrases in it.
But our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward. In the state of our union history.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours, a great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on ReSun Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com. What is a boy to do?
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Stab somebody in the throat because my computer's so slow. It's Reese on the Radio, 42 minutes after the hour, right here on blogtalkradio.com. August the 14th, best day in the world, day of my birth. And I'm trying to find this audio. But now that, since I can't find it, let me just tell the story. So, according to the reports, and according to the audio, Sean Qualley and the new Black Panthers have a show on blogtalkradio.com where they pretty much just get on the phone and just talk to each other about how they're going to kill Whitey and how Whitey must die. Well, according to new reports by them, the spokesperson, she's the chief of staff in Tampa, Florida, she, because the Republican National Convention is going to be there, she is down there talking about how the new Black Panthers are going to put their boots on the mother effers.
No, on their mother effing necks.
Yeah, on the mother effing necks. Thank you, Mary, for clearing that out. So, I just want to make sure everybody can remember Michelle Williams.
With my words that I had to say out of anger, will make the American people address this issue. Let it be my time, Melody. Let it be my time to address this issue with America, that we say enough is enough. We can't have any more killings.
The chief of staff of the new Black Panther Party is offering
an apology.
My words were out of anger. I did not incite, I did not promote, nor did I encourage anyone to go and pick up a gun.
In an online interview this week, Michelle Williams spoke openly of her frustration over the Trayvon Martin case. Her words were not taken lightly and were replayed Tuesday morning by nationally syndicated radio talk show host Bubba the Love Sponge.
Let me tell you something. The things that's about to happen to these honkies, these particles, these pigs, these pink people, these purple people, it has been long overdue. My prize right now this evening.
Michelle, you still there?
Yep, I'm listening.
All right.
It's going to be the bounty, the arrest, dead or alive, for George Zimmerman. You feel me?
Michelle, really?
I'm listening.
You are so much better than that, honey.
Do I want to see George Zimmerman dead? No. Do I want him brought to justice? Hell yeah.
Michelle is putting out an open invitation to anyone, black, white, cops, mayors, anyone out there who wants to talk about keeping peace in the Trayvon Martin case, she's willing to listen.
This whole Trayvon Martin case has been an injustice that America is watching unfold.
It's my words. This is the same bitch. I got to play you now. Here's the audio of her screaming and ranting and raving about the Republican National Committee. Now, I want to play it first, but then I'm going to tell you why they're doing what it is that they're doing. I want you to hear what she said, but I'm going to tell you why she's doing it. Here's the audio. It's okay. We'll get the audio back up. It's all right. No big deal, man. It's all right.
Oh, you can't.
It's kind of, yeah. It's not going to go any louder. You can't get it any louder, can you?
Nope.
Yes, you can. Right there. She can probably get it a little louder, but we'll see. But anyway, nonetheless. They're talking about putting their feet on the mother effing necks of the RNC. We'll see whether or not we can get the audio. But the bottom line is this. I'll tell you what. Do you have it? No, it's not loud enough. It's not loud enough. We just can't. We're not going to be able to work. But nonetheless, here's why they're doing it. If there's one thing that the new Black Panthers know, is that the liberal media hates Republicans. They know that the Republican Party is the most vile group portrayed in liberal media. And if the new Black Panthers are going to go out there and rally against Republicans, then they are the ones who are going to be promoted as the new frontier, the new Black Panther movement that's trying to destroy conservatives. And liberals will celebrate that. They will.
She is talking about we are. She said we are under siege right now, by the Republican National Convention. We are under siege in the city of Tampa, Florida.
Is that what she said?
Yes. Black people don't have the same equality of the privileged lives like white people do in the city of Tampa right now.
Really?
Like, bitch, I've been to Tampa. It's a goddamn lie. Ain't nobody got no life in Tampa because the entire state of Florida has the worst unemployment rate in the country. Why don't you talk to Barack Obama about that?
Well, she doesn't care.
Shelley?
Called her Shelley? So, Mike, have you've heard this audio yourself? Because I haven't been able to hear it at all.
Yeah, it was on Breitbart. It was just more friggin' babble from that big obese diabetes chicken eating bitch. We gonna put our mother effing feet on your effing necks and go to your houses, and you know I'm ashamed of white people, man. I really am. It's like you know that I'm ashamed of white people's laziness in letting this bullshit go on. I mean, we know Obama's not going to do anything, right? You know that Holder's not going to do anything. I mean, after you had that one crackhead, King Samir up in Philly, standing outside the polling place with a stick, and nothing happened, like DOJ let him walk. The holder's not going to do anything. But where are the good old boy Florida crackers to find that crack house they work out of in St. Pete and just burn the shit down? It's obvious they're not afraid of anything. Maybe they should be afraid of crazy white people. Because, as we know, that worked in the past.
No one with any sense is going to worry about those silly Negroes. They're not going to do anything.
Well, yeah, if they're going to, you know, cause trouble in downtown Tampa during the RNC, you know, you can't scare off tourism between them and the dirty Occupy hippies. I'm not going to Tampa. And I was going to go to the Ron Paul event at the fairgrounds, but since the fairgrounds is like a hop, skip, and jump from MLK, I ain't going. Hello? Hello?
Well, it sounds like Reese got cut off.
No. He's still on connected. I think he's on mute. Reese, are you on mute over there? I got a brother down in Tampa. I'm trying to find somebody down there to send me a damn case of mangoes. Yeah, but what is Michelle Williams' problem?
She's a crazy racist terrorist. You know, if the Klan made some statement and said, we're going to go to the NAACP convention and put our boots on their necks, those crackers would be yanked out of the trailers and put on TV in a heartbeat.
She's a sloppy-ass mixed mud herself.
Hey, you can't make threats of violence in the media. I mean, not in America, I know. I mean, that's not freedom of speech. You can't yell fire in a movie theater, none of that stuff. So how come these people get a pass?
That sloppy broad is doing nothing but selling wolf tickets.
Yeah, exactly.
She's selling wolf tickets. They have no intentions. The whole Black Panther Party has no intentions of doing anything to anybody. You can sit up, hoop, and holler and scream all you want to just because you carry the name Black Panther. They feel as though they can get away with threats and so on and so forth. They're a non-factor.
Well, then show up with the FBI and put them all in jail. And you make a statement.
Well, you know what? They're being ignored is what it is, and not enough people are complaining. If enough people actually made the complaints, I think there could be something done about them. But everybody's ignoring them because they're really basically a joke at this point.
I hope they get rowdy in Tampa. Those Tampa cops are not going to put up with that nonsense.
They don't play out of Tampa.
Dude, they're at the NBPP, whatever, were protesting some guy named Javon Neal who got shot by, I guess, Tampa PD. Dude got shot while he was holding a shotgun shooting at them.
Right.
And the Black Panthers are saying the cops are racist because they shot the guy.
Why did it just cut off like that?
Mm-hmm.
He was just a 16-year-old that was
don't touch
ran upstairs with the gun, correct?
Well, it's in the middle of detecting problems.
This fish was sounding crazy.
I don't know what's going on there.
if you can't shoot somebody as a cop when they have a shotgun and they're shooting at you, then why do we have cops?
And what the hell is the point? Exactly.
I mean, do they want the cops to not patrol in their neighborhood? But then when they don't, they say, oh, you're racist for not taking care of us. So you can't win.
You know, even if all those cops were 100% racist, they had every right to shoot that dude.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter whether the racist
guy. It doesn't matter at all. You're exactly.
Listen, put a bullet in his ass.
Yeah, they got him. I mean, you know, all I'm thinking is they saved the taxpayers millions of dollars in child support for his illegitimate kids and his future incarceration.
Yeah. So that's money right there. How much that be?
How many kids do you think he can pop out? 15 or 20?
At least.
Wasn't he a father already?
Oh,
wasn't he a father?
Sure.
He was only 16, right?
Dude, I wouldn't doubt it. Here's some quotes from the new Black Panthers on their Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a good one from King Samir, you know, the skinny crackhead.
Yeah.
He said, we ought to send this crackhead to the cemetery, kiss him goodbye, Imagine a world where every black man is ready to bang on this cracker, be thankful we're not hanging crackers by nooses and all that stuff yet. I hate the goddamn white man, woman, grandma, aunt, child, uncle, papa, Billy Bob, whoever else. Come on, man.
Can anybody hear me?
They're just making inflammatory words just so that someone would pay attention to them.
God, man. Again, I'm ashamed of white people. We've fallen off, man.
The point
Rich, you're there now?
Can you hear me?
Oh, you're there now. Okay.
Okay. All no, right. The point that I was trying to make about them was, you know, Eddie Murphy did that thing on Raw when he said, you know, remember when he was hanging out with Danny Terrio?
And right.
An Italian guy was, starting junk with him, and he says, you know, the one thing I learned when I was growing up is that if a guy tries to start a fight with you, even if you can't fight, what you need to talk real, bro. You know, you need to
act like you can fight.
You have to talk real bold. You know, it's like, yeah, nobody mess with me, man, because I'll kick your ass. You know, that's the Black Panther, the new Black Panther Party.
But that doesn't work with rednecks.
That's my point. That's my whole point. I think they do that to these people who are like docile news reporters who literally, you know, they wouldn't smash a spider. But they see the Black Panther Party, they're scared to all death. But if a real redneck, some of these real, real rednecks out there, the ones that don't take no ish, you know, not the neo-Nazis, the wannabe thugs, the real, real rednecks who look at them and just go, nigga, say something else. Okay?
Come get some, boy.
Yeah, exactly.
You mean those guys have been waiting to kill a Negro since, like, 1965 for those white people?
Exactly. One of them white boys that really, really loves the movie Deliverance, and only the scenes with Ned Beatty naked. You know what I mean?
But it's just crazy, man, that they get away with this stuff. I mean, how is that? What kind of justice system do we have when you can have a terrorist group, and I will call them a terrorist group, making threats?
Yeah, absolutely.
Fresh out of the swamps, barefoot, in they have overall suits, wrestling alligators.
Yeah, I want to see these guys match up against those groups and see how they would respond. Like, look, I mean, you talk about that video outside of the Philadelphia voting booth. Voting, and I look at that guy with the baton, and I keep looking at him, and I'm going, first of all, this guy looks like, you know, a former rapper with the long braided dreads. You know, first of all, anybody who spends that much time doing their hair is not a thug, okay? He's not a thug. He's standing outside a polling place with a baton scaring people 50 and older, okay? That's not a thug. That's why I'm not impressed with him.
He didn't go to the Italian part of Philly and try that crap.
Oh, hell no. And he's not going to. That's why
he
wouldn't
try that with the Irish.
You know, look, let me just say this about Michelle Williams. Michelle Williams, chief of staff of the new Black Panther Party. This woman would be oppressed if they ran out of Slurpees. Everything oppresses this woman. This woman would be oppressed if the Twinkies ran out at the 7-Eleven. This woman would be oppressed if the only way to catch a bus required her to jog. This woman.
did you ever see the video of, I guess there was a, Popeyes did some promotion a few years ago where they were offering a four-piece dinner for some really cheap price. And I guess they, you know, Popeyes not being the best run franchises, ran out of chicken. So they weren't serving.
Yes.
Their reaction to it's a conspiracy. They got no chicken. How can I feed my family? They should have more chicken. It's like, it's not a conspiracy to not sell you chicken. What sense does that make? Yes, that's how we're going to get Negroes. We'll tempt them with chicken and not have any. Yeah, I know we said we had chicken, Negroes, but haha, no chicken for you.
I finally found a way to get the Negroes.
I'm going to taunt them with chicken.
Get an anger them. You sent them away with hurt feelings.
Listen, here's the plan, gentlemen. We're going to hide the chicken from the Negroes. This'll learn them.
But, man, I'm telling you, you know, Reese, you're my buddy, and, you know, I would hope that, you know, if things went south racially, no crackers would bother you. But I think there's some young brothers out there that are looking for some trouble.
What is that?
What was that? You said you might find some what?
I think there's some young brothers out there that are looking for trouble. They want to kick things off and start some problems. And I just hope the crackers leave you alone.
Listen,
although
me,
if you just talk,
not,
if they never saw you and just talked to you, they would think you were white anyway.
Well, absolutely. But my bottom line is that if it ever comes down to the race war, if it really, really comes down to it, and it's really black versus white, let me just make sure I let everybody know. Don't let me see where it is that you're hiding, niggas, because I will pull you out.
You got to pick the winning team. That's all I'm saying.
If you are hiding from Whitey, I will snitch on you.
You know, I had a radical black guy talking about that once to me. He said, you know, when there's a lot of us, we're going to get you. And I said, dude, we ain't played cowboys and Negroes in this country yet.
Listen, I would sell you out for a Chick-fil-A sandwich.
A lot of these brothers seem to think that white people are soft, but go ask the Indians how soft white people are.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Or the Jews, or 30 million dead Russians. Don't mess with Whitey. We have a long fuse, but when shit gets ready to go, we're very organized people.
get your act together. That's all I got to say.
We may take a lot of crap, but when it finally pops off, don't be around.
Thank you, guys. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and more views. Edward in Connecticut, Mike in Florida, and, of course, JC the producer and my co-host. Mary, Mary, why are you bugging? Say goodnight.
Good night.
Good night.
Night.
I could have said say goodnight, Mary, and then you would have said
good night,
Mary. You're supposed to say, you know, think of George and Gracie thing, whatever. You're never, ever going to get it. I'm sorry. Sorry, folks.
Great.
Great. She didn't get it.
No, I don't get it.
I'll see you guys tomorrow. We
I
love you.
I must have gotten it at some point.